You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning to everybody. Happy 4th of July weekend. Well, if there are no other announcements, let's go to the scripture reading. It's Romans 5, 7 and 8. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, we can open up the prayer. Father, we pause now to study your word, to celebrate your son Christ and the liberty and freedom we have from condemnation in him, Lord. We know that we take our freedoms for granted, whether it be politically in this country or spiritually in Christ. Help us be cognizant of this time, that we can appreciate what we have and really be thankful in our hearts and demonstrate that thankfulness in our walk as we walk to please you in all things. For it's in Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. We'll get to our scripture reading and several scriptures. But I wanted to share with you a few pictures from a trip that we took with 6th grade class of Christian Heritage Academy as we just went to Washington, D.C. And as we went to Washington, D.C., we went with a Christian perspective. We went looking for evidence of our Christian heritage. Imagine that from Christian Heritage Academy, that we would look for our Christian heritage in Washington, D.C. There was about 50 kids and 50 adults, so there was about 100 people as we marched on Washington. And from Sunday to Sunday, we saw the sights, and we saw some things. So if you'll bear with me, I'm going to take you through a few things here as we celebrate our Christian heritage. The first day we arrived at Colonial Williamsburg, and this was a bus, and you see there's Carter's friend Ryan. He's very contemplating how serious it's all going to be. Actually, it's probably pretty hot, so we're probably avoiding the sun as much as possible. Now, one of the most, I think, amazing things at Colonial Williamsburg is they had this theater. And in this theater, they had a meeting with Patrick Henry. And this was the actor. Now, the amazing thing about this is he got up and gave a speech, which, you know, I thought I expected. But halfway through the speech, he paused and said, "All right, I'm now going to answer questions." Now, he's keeping character the whole time. So as he's keeping character, people are asking him questions, and he's answering it as if he's truly Patrick Henry in that time frame. So what I thought was amazing, you know, here's a quote that Patrick Henry was known to make. It says, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists but by Christians, not by religions but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, peoples of their faith have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom to worship here." What a fantastic patriot and Christian was Patrick Henry. And the amazing thing was, I got to ask him, and there's the quote that I read you. I got to ask him, "Mr. Henry, having come from England, where there was a state-decided religion in the Church of England, what are your thoughts on the separation of church and state?" Now, there's about, you know, how many people? 200 people in this auditorium? And I thought, oh boy, you know, let's hear what his response is. It was fantastic. He went in and he talked about that he actually favored a tax to fund the pastors because how important it was to keep the Christianity foremost in our thoughts. So when you look at quotes historically of Patrick Henry, he truly was a Christian man and really believed in keeping Christianity first and foremost in our country. Then we trekked on to Mount Vernon. Now, if you don't know, Mount Vernon was the estate of George and Martha Washington. And it was a really tremendous, again, testimony of the things that were going on there. This is the tomb of General George Washington. So George and Martha are buried there. And I noticed in the tomb, he had a scripture. "I am the resurrection and the life, saith the Lord. He that believeth in me, though yet he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever loveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now, you know, I thought, oh, God, you know, surely we're offending some people by having Scripture in our founding father's tomb. But, you know, back then, that wasn't offensive. That was a blessing. And it was a blessing to see Scripture in where he's buried. Going on that day was a naturalization ceremony. It was actually Flag Day when we were there. So I thought I took a picture of kind of what was going on. Here you have people being sworn in to become citizens of the United States of America. And I often thought, you know, as they swear in, you know, they've had to study, and you wonder, they may at this point in time appreciate more of what America has to offer than those of us that are born there and we just take it for granted every day. So it was quite poignant to see that. One of the quotes attributed to George Washington, and boy, there are many, but he said here, in addition to the distinguished character of a patriot, it should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of a Christian. I get the sense that George knew that freedom wasn't free, that there were certain responsibilities that went with freedom. And he was pointing out that it was more important even to be a patriot, but even more important to know that we're ambassadors for Christ, and that our responsibility as Christians really comes first. So George definitely knew that. Then we trekked on to D.C. from Williamsburg and Mount Vernon, and we made a few stops. And here was a building called the Archives of the United States of America. And this is where you have the Bill of Rights, the Constitution of the United States, and the Declaration of Independence, all original documents in this building. But I thought interesting, outside the building, there was a statue. And this statue of certainly someone looking vigilant there. And he says here, eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. Eternal vigilance is the price of freedom. You know, there's some scriptures in Timothy, you know, it says, man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. You know, if you list those things here, and you remember what George was talking about, that it's more important to add to your character as a Christian. We have responsibility as a Christian. We have responsibility as Americans. Here it says, hold fast the form of sound words. Once you've heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed unto thee, what do you got to do? You got to keep it. And I thought, you know, yeah, here's a statue about, you know, eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. You know, we're in a country where there's liberty under law or in law. We're not just completely chaotic. We govern ourselves by law. But it's most importantly self-restraint that keeps us the people we are. There's no way all the police force, if we all just decided to go crazy and to just start robbing and things, there's no way we have enough police force that could keep all of us back. Yet with self-restraint that comes from Christian principles, we govern ourselves. There's no country in the world like that. And it's our Christian heritage that gives us that personal control that we have under there. So, in the National Archives, the lights are real low because bright lights would damage the documents. So here you actually get to go around, and it's a beautiful place. I took a picture without a flash. There's a little sign that says no flash photography, and I'm getting the camera out, and Kathy's going, you can't take a flash picture. And I turned it off, I promise. You know, in fear that it would flash and I'd get in trouble. That's right. So we got to see the founding documents, which was really moving, certainly. Then we went on to certain war memorials. Here was the new World War II memorial. I don't know if any of you have actually seen that. The beautiful memorial actually sits right between the Lincoln Memorial and the Washington Memorial. It sits right in between those. And here's Carter reading a statement by Harry S. Truman. Our debt to the heroic men and valiant women in the service of our country can never be repaid. They have earned our undying gratitude. America will never forget their sacrifices. Our debt can never be repaid. I often thought of that phrase Here it is politically from a country perspective. But spiritually, the debt of our sin, we can't pay it. There's no way to pay it. So when you think about spiritually, Christ was the only one that could remove the debt of our sin. And I think our founding fathers absolutely knew that. So this World War II memorial, you have one side the Pacific, one side showing the Atlantic. You have a ring of all the states, people from the states that were involved, and kind of a rope symbolically tying it together. Then we went on to the Lincoln Memorial. You might recognize these two tourists. And in the Lincoln Memorial, on the inside the wall, you can see the scale. Here's a, actually, I think that was your dad and your sister there. You see, those are people, and that's how big that wall is. And this is to the side, you know, you have the Lincoln, and then to the side you have one, the Gettysburg, not the Gettysburg address, and then you have here his second inaugural address. And as you read it, you get to a couple of things here. Here, Abraham Lincoln was talking about the Almighty has his own purposes. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe unto man by whom the offense cometh. So here you have Abraham Lincoln quoting Scripture. Why was he quoting Scripture? He was sitting there saying, you know, if we shall suppose that American slavery is one of those offenses, which in the providence of God must needs come, by which having continued through his appointed time, he now wills to remove, and that he gives to both North and South his terrible war, as the woe due to those by whom the offense came. He's sitting there using Scripture to explain that, you know, that the Civil War may be upon us because of the sin of slavery that was in our country. So he is saying here, you know, God wills it will continue until all the wealth, if he wills, that all the wealth piled by the bondsman 250 years of unrequited toil shall be sunk, until every drop of blood be drawn with the last shall be paid by another, drawn with the sores. As was said 3,000 years ago, so still it must be said, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Abraham Lincoln. Amazing, a president would quote Scripture such a way, and it's engraved on the wall of the memorial. Yet, it testified, there's a testimony everywhere you go in D.C. to our Christian heritage. And today we are trying to do everything we can to deny it. Here's a picture of President Lincoln. Really quite impressive. So then we went on to a couple of more memorials. Here's the Vietnam Memorial. It's a common practice. People go and all the names that were in the memorial are engraved in the wall. Here was a young lady engraving or scribbling over one of the names. And from here we went to the Korean War Memorial. Again, very impressive, but one thing caught my eye at this memorial was this next scene, a reflecting pond. This was at the tip of the memorial. I don't know if you can read that. Can you read what that says? Freedom is not free. And you're by a reflecting pool. I really reflected on that. I thought freedom, you know, I'm not a generation of a war generation. Born in 63, I've never really experienced war firsthand. But later on, you're going to see that we go to Arlington National Cemetery, and I'm going to be able to show you some pictures that are very moving. But freedom is not free. Isn't that true? Not only here politically, but spiritually as well. We take our freedom in Christ for granted, but yet God, you know, gave his only begotten Son that we could enjoy that freedom. But yet freedom doesn't come without responsibility. We have a responsibility as Christians and in our calling to find out what he would have us do. We saw at the National Archives that eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. I think eternal diligence as a Christian with the Word of God is another price of liberty that we have and responsibility that we have. Freedom is not free. So then we moved on to the Jefferson Memorial. There's a quote attributed to Thomas Jefferson. God who gave us life gave us liberty at the same time. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed their only sure basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that those liberties are the gift of God? You know, it's this man that's attributed to the doctrine of the separation of church and state. That's nowhere in any of our founding documents. And here he's given a quote. This quote was actually not in the memorial. This was a quote I took from elsewhere. But, you know, I think it just goes to show you that, you know, it's been since ninth grade that I was in D.C. And at that time, you know, as a ninth grader, I had a certain perspective. The coolest thing to me was the National Air and Space Museum of the Smithsonian because, wow, I got to see the lunar lander. I got to see this plane and that plane. You know, it's like this trip, that was the least important. It was the least interesting to me, this trip. To me, the most interesting thing was the U.S. Capitol and the testimony that was in the rotunda of the Capitol. You'll see that here in a little bit. But, you know, evidence all throughout the place of Christianity and the foundation of what our country stands for. So, recognize that, U.S. Capitol. Well, before we went to the Capitol, we visited Senator Coburn. We went to the Senate building where all the offices are, and we waited for Senator Coburn to come down, and we all just kind of huddled around. 100 of us just kind of huddled around him. I'm sure he enjoyed it because he had a good photo op with the kids. But we got to ask him questions, and it was very impressive to see a man like Senator Coburn answer from a Christian perspective. Now, I'm sure he knew he was talking to a Christian Heritage Academy, so he was a little more free probably with his correlation of Scripture and what topics we were talking about. But what a blessing to be able to have a senator that is a Christian and recognizes our Christian heritage. So there were a lot of aides of Senator Coburn. There was one of the aides who then took us. We broke up into groups. You can't just, in 100 people, go to the Capitol. You have to break up into little groups, and you have to be escorted. In today's world of terrorism and things like that, they just don't let you free reign go there. So we went to the Capitol, and there's a really neat tunnel from the Senate office building to the Capitol. So we got on a tram, and we got to ride over there like the senators do. But in the rotunda, that's the big part. That's the dome. It was created an ambitious orchestration of architecture, sculpture, paintings. Certainly the sandstone walls are, and it gives you all kinds of Doric plaster and all that neat stuff. But there's these next bullets is what I really want to point out. There are really big paintings in the rotunda. Four are from the Revolutionary period, showing the Declaration of Independence, the surrender of General Burgoyne. How did you say that? Burgoyne. Surrender of Lord Cornwallis, and then General George Washington resigning his commission. And then there are four scenes of early exploration. They were added between 1840 and 1855. Landing of Columbus, discovery of the Mississippi. Baptism of Pocahontas? Baptizing? And embarkation of the pilgrims. Well, we're going to see what that's in the pictures. So here you have the four Revolutionary period scenes. Again, this is a famous one by, actually, David Barton has a video that shows you and talks about this particular one because it literally shows you, I think there were 55, 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. And I think pretty much all of them, most of them are identified here where they're actually signing, and this is the Declaration of Independence. So this is a very, very famous picture. Here you have the surrender of that guy you can't pronounce, and then Cornwall's surrender, and then here you have the George Washington, I guess, resigning. You know, it's when we learned that George Washington didn't really see himself as a politician, he saw himself as a farmer. He had so much integrity that from his farm, when he would ship goods over to England, that they wouldn't check the contents because they knew it was from Washington's farm. Other people they would check because sometimes they filled up a barrel half full or they wouldn't include this, that, or the other. But from Washington, he was such a man of integrity that they would not check the contents of what he shipped over. Here are the other four scenes of early exploration, Columbus. Isn't it amazing today that we villainize Columbus? I have a story that's specific to this. In my corporation, I started a project. It was a multi-million dollar project, and it was one that we were going to find a new way to service our customers better. And I thought, what a neat way to named this project, I called it the Columbus Project, because we're going to discover a new world. We may not know exactly what it is, but when we get there, we're going to find it. I used the analogy, it was very well, and it was about a year into the project, I got a call from my boss saying, "We have a problem." "What is that?" "Someone's offended by the name Columbus. We may have to change the project name." "What?" This was an internal project. Wasn't it an external, internal project. Someone complained that we were offending native peoples because we used the term Columbus. I couldn't believe it. I went out and I bought every book. I was wanting to get attorney. I was going to fight. I was going to stand up for Columbus because, after all, we even have a holiday after him, Columbus Day. October 12th, I think it is. And here we're saying, you know, he's now a villain? Give me a break. That's an example of how upside down we're becoming. That we're not being vigilant to our Christian heritage, that we're abandoning it, and we're adopting philosophies that are completely wrong. But yet, here in the rotunda of the Capitol, there's a gigantic painting, and there's Columbus. Baptizing of Pocahontas. Wow. That seems like that's a little spiritual to me. Yet it's in our capital? Well, they added that, what, in the 1850s or so? They must have not have been hip to the current thought at that time, had they? Here's the Pilgrims. Pilgrims are really big at Christian Heritage Academy. That's our foundation. That's our cult. That's our background, our heritage. I wonder what he's reading there. I try to get a close-up. There's it, there it is. And these things are huge. You really can't see how big they are. I tried to show you there. And I tried to get a close-up. Again, I couldn't take a flash picture because, again, that was forbidden. So poor lighting, but, you know, he's reading the Bible. See, there's evidence all through D.C. of our Christian heritage. There's that big picture of the signers of the Declaration. Here we are. We went to the Supreme Court. You might recognize that little fellow there. This was somewhat sad in the sense that when we were going to go to the Supreme Court, our leader of the group, Mr. Sanders, reminded us that we could not stop and pray on those stairs because we'd be arrested. There was a policeman, you couldn't see him, he's to the right of this picture. There's a policeman staged full time there. And if you stop and pray on the Supreme Court steps, you get arrested. Say what? Can you believe that? So, you know, what are we doing? What's going on with our heritage? Well, from there, next door from the Supreme Court was the Library of Congress. We got to go into the Library of Congress, and it's a beautiful building. When you go in, you get to see just very ornate ceiling, just fantastic, really, really pretty. And Kathy looked over, and you see these little circles? There's artwork and things, but she pointed out, she goes, "Look over there." I said, "Sure enough, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding." That's Proverbs 4:7. That's in the Library of Congress, and that's engraved on the wall. What were they thinking? Didn't they know there's separation of church and state? In there, here's one of our students, Sarah Garner. She's actually looking at the Gutenberg Bible. That's on display there. I wonder what they're thinking, you know, displaying a Bible. Just don't understand. So then we ended up at the Arlington National Cemetery. And in doing so, really started to understand about, you know, freedom is not free. I mean, you know, it just goes on and on and on. And you see these graves. One on the way up to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier stuck out at me. I didn't know Harold Hartman, but I noticed the date. He was buried here back in March of 2005. Now notice, Harold, he was in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. I remember hearing people say that the World War II generation is dying off at 1,500 a day or something like that. And there was an example in front of my face of the World War II generation who had been buried there at the cemetery. So we went on. Here's actually Ryan looking at the burial plot of Audie Murphy. This guy was the most decorated soldier in World War II. Just an example of one of the many heroes that are buried out there. So we made our way to the tomb of the unknown soldier. And a very elaborate display. One thing here which was interesting is even during the hurricane, they, for the first time in history, were given reprieve that they didn't have to stand guard. And the Marines said, there's no way with our comrades fighting over in Iraq that we're going to stand down from a hurricane. So they actually stood their watch through the hurricane. And every 30 minutes, they rotate. So, freedom is not free. Our scripture reading today. How often do we take for granted not only the freedom that we've been given here in America, but our freedom spiritually? Go ahead. I think that's the end. We can turn on the lights. Time flies when you're having fun. I just want to remind you spiritually that freedom is not free. I want to remind you that in Ephesians, Paul tells us that in times past, we weren't free. But now, see, we were without Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. In time past, you were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. We had no hope when we were without God in the world. But in Ephesians 2:13, we are now in Christ. And sometimes we were far off, but we are made near by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace. What a blessing that is. But peace doesn't come without responsibility. What's our responsibility? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. See, we're not only called as Americans, but we're called as Christians. And we're called with a certain purpose. And we have to do our part to recognize that and to be vigilant, you know. Be vigilant. So I encourage you this 4th of July to celebrate that and to recognize our heritage and to really just thank God for your blessing both spiritually and politically here in this country. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the scriptures that tell us of our liberty in Christ, that He is our peace. And we know that you paid the price, Lord, for our freedom. And there's no way we can ever repay that, but you do ask us, Lord, to walk worthy with the responsibility of our freedom. We pray that each one of us learns our own responsibility individually as we walk each and every day, that we do as you call us and have us to do. Thank you as we celebrate our country's 229th independence under a constitutional republic, Lord. Thank you for the Christian heritage that we have and the blessings that we continue to receive from that heritage. Help us be vigilant and be true to our founding fathers and our foundations and our country. But most of all, to be true to Christ and the position that we have in Him. Thank you for this, for it's in Christ, and we pray it for His sake. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.